And we're going to start reading. We're going to read just one verse. We're going to read in Acts chapter 8. If I got Acts chapter 8, say amen.
Amen.
All right, stand if you can. If you ain't got it, might as well just look over. You're already standing. We're going to read verse number 26. Verse number 26. The Bible reads like this. It says, "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert." Would you help me pray? Precious Lord, wonderful Savior, we come to you one more time. Lord Father, today we ask you for your help. We ask you for your grace. Lord Father, we ask you for that fresh oil. Lord Father, where no man is able to preach without. Father, we need your encouragement. Lord, we need your power just to speak through us, Lord. We also need your power, Lord Father, to open up our hearts. Lord, we may understand, Lord Father, that not only hear what Spirit has said, but Lord, but have those ears to hear it, to understand it, and to realize that it's for us. Lord, may I say that everybody in here stands in need of hearing the Word, including myself. And so my heart, Lord Father, to be open. I pray today, Lord Father, that the distractions and the things of our mind would be silenced, that they would not rear their head, that the distractions in the congregation, Lord, Lord, that our hearts would be so fixed upon the message that there's no way they can distract. Father, I'm a firm believer. I've seen folks do many things to distract themselves, Lord, but you still spoke to hearts. Lord, I pray today that we would be ever to hear what you have to say. I believe you're faithful in speaking. Lord, may we be faithful in listening and doing. All these things we ask in Jesus' sweet, precious name. Amen and amen. Thank you for standing in reason. As we had said, we want to preach on the desert, some things that takes place in the desert. And here we find where Philip, the man of God, he has been preaching. Preaching in a revival, as some folks would call it, and it was a mighty revival. But he's told by the Lord to get away. The Spirit of the Lord took him and led him and to go south out of Jerusalem to a place called Gaza, which is the desert, which is barren, which there's no things there. And oftentimes the desert is the place that no one likes to go. I mean, I say in the desert, it seems real hot in the desert. I'd like to be able to say I got all kinds of some fancy acronyms or adjectives and nouns to describe the desert, but the only one that just sticks out in the forefront of my mind is just hot in the desert. It gets hot there. It's dry there. It's so hot there's no water there. It gets so hot in the desert that you sweat and you're uncomfortable in the desert because it is so hot. And some people might say, well, preacher, why on earth would the Lord send Philip to a place of the desert? But knowing this, can I say that it's not the things that we say that we or the things that we think and believe that we ought to do is the things that we should do, but it's the things that God tells us that we ought to do. We should follow the Lord and follow His ways. Would you all agree with that this morning? I agree with the Lord that going by His ways is much better than going by man's ways. The Bible says that there's a way that seemeth right unto man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. Now, can I stop right there and say something? A lot of times people might say, well, preacher, I did my own ways and I didn't die. Well, maybe your death is not what was going to happen from that way. But there is things that gets caused to die, Brother James, if we go by the way of man. And can I say, but if you go the way of God, there's always life. It's always truth. For Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. Notice, no doubt, that maybe Philip would be like some of us be thinking, why on earth would God take me from this place of preaching the gospel? Notice that Philip, not only was Philip was told to go to the desert, but he was also living a place that nobody from Israel, Jerusalem, would probably go to. He was in Samaria preaching the gospel, Brother Eddie. Samaria was the people that you did not want to be accompanied with or be a part of. No doubt. Let's remember the story in John chapter number 4 when Jesus was passing through the countryside and he said, for I have must needs to go through Samaria. The Bible says he stopped at the well, and as he stopped at the well, the Bible says he met the woman from Samaria. We all know this story, but I like what Jesus told her at the well. He said, the water that I give unto you, if you shall drink it, you shall never thirst again. Can I say, it's always person in the desert needs a good drink of water, Brother James. And can I say, when a person's lost and undone, that's where they're at. They're in a place where it's hot, where they're in a place where it's dry. It's in a place where there is no refreshment. But I can honestly say, if you get a drink of what Jesus is offering, you'll never thirst again. I say praise His ever-loving name, Sister Vicki, that Jesus passed by my way. I'm glad He passed through my country. He said, I must needs go through Franklin. I must needs go through Carlisle. And He caught up with me in Kettering, Ohio. And He changed my life, and I've never thirsted again. Can I say that I used to thirst for things that used to make me talk stupid and talk ignorant and behave all kind of obscene ways. And I had myself a drinking problem. But Brother Roger, I switched fountains and now I drink from a different fountain. And I'm under that influence and it changes the way I look. It changes the way I talk. And it changes the way that I behave. I thank God that in my desert place of life, Jesus passed by my way and gave me something to drink. And we find here where Philip is in Samaria and he's preaching the gospel. He's preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Peter being full of the Holy Ghost and full of faith. Philip himself a good testimony. Philip was the one who followed the Lord. Philip was the one that they said was full of faith and the Holy Ghost. Y'all listen to the preacher. I'm glad to know that there's some people still yet today that can still be full of faith and full of the Holy Ghost. Can I say it's not no secret formula that gets you full of faith and full of the Holy Ghost? And can I say there's no secret scripture that you have to dig out through the mystics of books of Revelation and Ezekiel, which people claim them to be, to find out that you can be full of faith in the Holy Ghost? And can I say there's no secret prayer that you have to pray to be full of faith in the Holy Ghost? Can I say you don't shake the preacher's hand to be full of faith in the Holy Ghost? But friend, just seek the Lord with all your heart. Lean upon Him and trust in Him. Read His word and pray, friend. The next thing you know, you may not know it. You'll be so full, you'll be running over with faith and Holy Ghost. That doesn't mean the hard times won't come and you won't find yourself in the desert. But maybe you'll be in the desert. Give somebody a good cool drink of water. You'll be in the faith in the Holy Ghost. I'm so glad that the Lord sent down Philip to the desert. He pulled him from the revival. Most of us would say, well, preacher, there's people preaching. The gospel's being preached and people's being saved. And they were being saved by the multitudes in Samaria. And they were believing. The Bible says in verse number 12 of Acts chapter number 8, it says, but when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad he was preaching the Bible?
Yeah.
Aren't you glad he wasn't preaching a feel-good message? He was just preaching the message that'll make you feel good. Woo! And can I say this? Sometimes the hard things of the gospel, hey, they may not feel too good at the first, but they'll always make you feel better in the long run. And can I say he was preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and of Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, and when they were baptized, both men and women, they believed and then they were baptized. Y'all hearing the preacher? They believed and then they was baptized. They was doing the baptizing, believing and the baptizing. They didn't get it backwards. They was doing it straight. And I'm glad that the Lord is not the author of confusion, but is the author of separation. And when the Lord's will is accomplished, the Lord will bless. Now, Philip was doing what the Lord had him to do, but he put him in the desert, took him up by the Spirit, and led him to the desert. Somebody might say, well, preacher, why on earth would God be in the desert? There is nothing in the desert that's profitable. But can I say, I found some things in the desert that's real, real good. Y'all hearing the preacher? Oftentimes I can say there is some things that's bad in the desert. I mean, you can get real lonely in the desert. There's no one else around. That's why it's called it a desert. You could get real hungry in the desert. You could get real thirsty in the desert. I don't know where you're at right now in your walk with the Lord, and maybe you're feeling like you're in the desert. Maybe you feel like there's nobody around, and there's no refreshment to encourage your weary soul. There's nothing there to lift up your spirits and encourage you on your way. You're stuck in the dry places of your walk with the Lord. And you say, preacher, I must have done something wrong to get there. But friend, may I remind you, Philip was led by the Spirit of the Lord, Brother Eddie, to go into the desert, and the Spirit also led Jesus into the wilderness. And sometimes you got to go through the desert because God wants you to go through the desert. But don't be discouraged, friend. God is still in the desert. You said, preacher, how can you say that? I'm reminded in Exodus chapter number 3, while Moses was tending sheep up on the mountain on the backside of the desert. Woo! The Bible says there was a bush standing over there. It was on fire and it was not consumed. And he said, I must go see what this thing is. And he got close to that bush, Brother Eddie, in the desert. And a voice spoke from the bush and Moses, take off thy shoes, for thou art on holy ground. I'm glad this morning to know this, that though you may be in the desert, God is still in the desert. And there's still some holy ground in the desert. Friend, what you need to do is stop worrying
on the mountain, having the mully grubs and being all depressed and discouraged. But friend, when you see God is speaking and hear God is speaking, don't run from it. Get them shoes off. You're on holy ground and come to it and hear what God has to say. You say, preacher, I didn't think God could speak in the desert. Maybe Moses thought he was running from his responsibilities. But God said, even in the desert, I'm going to speak to you and show up in the desert no matter where you go. You can run off into the hardest of places to find and God still be there. The writer of the psalm said, and though I go into the tops of the mountains, God, you are there. Though I go into the wilderness, God, you are there. And though I make my bed in the depths of hell, God, you are there. And though I go in the depths of the sea, God, you are there. Friend, there's nowhere you can go where God's not at. Be of good cheer. If God be for you, it don't matter who's against you. I feel pretty good because knowing this, that if I'm in the desert, God can still speak in the desert. God will speak in the desert. Y'all hearing the preacher? We're reminded that God spoke unto Moses. He gave him direction in the desert. You can get direction in the desert. You can get encouraged in the desert. When Moses wanted to make his excuse and saying, I'm not the one, Lord. The Lord says, oh, you're the one. He said, you're the one that I pick. And he said, why would you even pick me? My speech is not good. He tried to make all kinds of excuses, Brother James. But know this, that if God pulls you aside in the desert, with a burning bush. I listen to God. Y'all hearing the preacher? So many times we neglect and say, there's no way. I'm just in the desert place and nothing good could happen here. But Sister Vicki, I've never known a truly born-again, blood-bought, Holy Ghost-filled Christian who's never went through the desert. Can I say this? That's why you see some of these sainted women cry with tears running down their face and some of these men testify just by how good God is. Because when they was in the desert, God didn't leave them alone. Woo! He showed up and he spoke and he was there to help him in the desert, friend. Don't get discouraged and don't get depressed and don't die in the desert. God loves you. He's just taking you through on the trip and journey of life. But I find also, and I want to hit again, not only is God in the desert, but there's green grass in the desert. If you was here last Sunday night, you might be getting a repeat, but it's worth preaching again. Somebody listen to the preacher. Can I say this? They was in the desert. There was a multitude that followed them. And he said the disciples would have sent them away hungry. But Jesus said, no, they're going to faint for the journey. They followed, they followed, they followed. I think some of them disciples were Baptist people. It's their fault they're in the desert, so it ain't my fault. It ain't my responsibility to feed them. God help us. Jesus said, would you send them away? A lot of times we send them away. But thank God Jesus didn't send them away. He says, what do you have? They said, we just got 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He says, have them all sit down in companies of hundreds and fifties. And he didn't just say, have them sit down. He says, have them sit down in the green grass. I don't know if anybody else, I'm going to say it again. That's just a miracle unto me. That in the desert, there's green, green grass. Them real deep theologians, Sister Doris, will say, well, there was just an oasis there. I don't know why you're getting all crazy about it. Well, the Bible didn't say there was an oasis. Did anybody see oasis in the scripture before? I didn't see an oasis there. But Jesus said, have them sit down in the green grass. It reminded me, and I'll preach it again, that in the when you got green grass, it feels comfortable. It's green, it's plush, you can sit down on it. But in the desert, I see dirt. I see dirt, I hear dirt, I smell dirt. It just blows around. And what you need to do to get fed by the Lord is to get out of the dirt, and there's some green grass for you to sit in. When you don't think God can feed you in a desert, friend, he's got a patch of green pasture for you to get into. I'm reminded in John chapter number 2, he said, I am the shepherd of the sheep, and by me they shall go in and out and find pasture. Woo! Bless his name. It don't matter how bad the desert is. He's always got green grass for you. Y'all hearing the preacher? You know what you need to do is get out of the dirt and get in the grass. I love that. I think I'll preach that to the day I die. Get out of the dirt and get in the grass. The dirt is an example of the flesh. We're made from the dust of the earth. Get out of the flesh and get in the green pastures of God. Some of you are still carnally minded. Some of you are still fleshly acting. But friend, God's not hating you. God's not wanting to kill you. Neither am I. I'm trying to encourage you. Get out of the dirt and get in the grass. Why? That's where God will feed you in the desert. Right? So many times. You know what Paul said to the church of Corinthians? He said, I would like to preach to you some spiritual things, but you're carnal. You're carnal. Chapter 1, they was carnal trying to pick their favorite preacher. Chapter 2, they was carnal thinking they knew more than the Spirit. Chapter 3, they was carnal thinking they was claiming to the preacher that they wanted. And chapter number 4, they was clinging to things I don't like to cling to. Chapter 5, there was fornication and adultery going on in the church. Chapter 6, they was seeking things I'm worried about who they can marry, who they not can marry, what to eat. Chapter 7, they was doing things wrong. All the way to chapter 13, you find flesh. And God's telling us today, get out of the dirt. You find dirt in 1 Corinthians. And can I say this? Ain't a one of us exempt from ever being carnal. You may be more super spiritual than I am. But can I say this? We all get fleshly from time to time. You know what we need to do? Get out of that dirt and get in the grass. You know what? In the grass, He'll feed you with the fishes and the loaves. And I don't know. You might think I'm adding too. But there's been times the atmosphere is a whole lot better than the food. Has anybody ever been that way? I went to places, Sister Michelle, they had all the accompaniments. They had the lighting right. They had the cushions in the booth right. It might have been Fritz's, I don't care, a Gold Star. It still felt real good. And the waitressing and the waiting was better than the food. And the fellowship was better than the food. Can I say this? Sometimes the position in the grass, Brother Scott, is better than the fishes and the loaves. I'm just reminded, no matter how desert that it is, no matter how dirty it is, God will still show up with a clean patch of grass for you to sit in and take a rest. In the desert, we find God speaking. In the desert, we find a patch of grass for us to lean on. And here in the desert, we find a sinner. Here in the desert, we find sinners. Do you know it would do us some good for some of us to take a trip through the desert on purpose? Why? To find sinners. Can I say this? We're all sinners. Bible says, for all have and come short of the glory of God. Now, I used to be one of them people. I'm going to look at you, Brother Eddie, because you understand what I'm saying. I used to be one of them people who said I never sinned after I got saved. You know what I found out myself? I was broke down, God saying, dirty, rotten sinner, repent. Why? It was not that I needed to get saved again, but my flesh, the dirt, started to rise up. And can I say this? There's a lot of people who don't think there's a sinner. And Philip found himself a sinner. And can I say this? We all are sinners, but aren't you glad of one thing, that Jesus is not a sinner? And He was in the desert too with Philip. He was the preached word. Can I say this? Jesus was born around sinners, but He Himself wasn't a sinner. He grew up around sinners, but He Himself wasn't a sinner. His ministry was dealing with sinners, but He Himself was no sinners. He got a bad name. Why? Because He sat with sinners, but He Himself wasn't a sinner. He ate and drank with sinners, but He Himself wasn't a sinner. Preacher, he was accused and crucified like a sinner, but He was not a sinner. But I love the scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 21, for He had made Him to be sin who knew no sin. Bless His name. Why, James Powell? Because that we might be made in the righteousness of God in Him. Though He never sinned, there was never one born like He was born. No one ever lived like He lived. No one ever died like He died. No one ever got up like He got up. But bless God, He did it all for this sinner who was in the desert one day, and He passed by my way and said, I died for sinners. This is a word worthy of all acceptation. Oh yes, a word worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the chief. Aren't you glad today that God saves old sinners? In the desert, we find sinners. One of my favorite scriptures, I don't know if I can quote it like I used to or not, but in Romans chapter number 5, there's a couple places in Romans chapter number 5 I like. By the disobedience of one man, we're all made sinners. But by the obedience of the second man, were many made righteous. Shall many be made righteous. I love that scripture. But my favorite one, I think it's chapter 5, verses 6, 7, and 8. It said, for women without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For a righteous man would one die. Yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commanded His love toward us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Woo! I'll do it for you. Woo! I was a sinner. But I'm glad He came, and He came and saved my soul. We find in the desert that though you may be in a desert, there's wonderful things that happen in the desert. We find Philip is in the desert. And can I say this? No matter where you're at in your walk, maybe you're here and you're in the desert right now. Maybe you're discouraged. Maybe you're depressed. Maybe you're in disbelief of the things that's going on in your life. I don't know. But maybe you're here and you're dying in the desert. You're lost without God. You have no hope for your soul. You like to try to think positive thoughts. You try to think things is going to work out all right. God's going to work it out somehow, some way. God worked it out all a long time ago on Calvary. His son to die upon the cross. No matter where you're at in your walk, God will always have a man. Ain't that right? God will always have a man to send to the situation. And God sent a situation, sent a man. You know why he said Philip? Because Philip was full of the Holy Ghost and faith. And he was willing. Why didn't he not send Peter? Why didn't he not send John? Can I say this? I don't pick where I get to go. I did have the opportunity to pick if I'd go. Y'all listen to the preacher? You said, Peter, I don't understand. I could sit back and say, no, I want to do this, I want to do this. I don't think, no. God's not looking for the person who's picking the right thing for them. God's looking for the person who's picking him. Y'all hearing the preacher? Philip went. Philip was willing. If Philip was full of faith in the Holy Ghost, he had to be willing to do what the Lord had him to do. When Philip gets to the desert, when I said the Lord's in the desert, he spoke to Moses. Notice that the Spirit of the Lord is in the desert, and he tells Philip to go join himself up with the eunuch in the chariot. When I said the Lord spoke in the desert, notice that the eunuch is reading Scripture. He's actually reading in the book of Isaiah, if we had to narrow it down, it'd be chapter 53. And he's preaching about, and he's reading about the one that should come, who was bruised for our iniquities. Our transgressions were upon him. The chastisement of our peace he took. All those things. And Philip come up to him, and in the desert, can I say this, Brother Duell? There's a lot of things I don't understand, but the Lord always shows up in the desert and helps me to understand what he's trying to say. Can I say this? God's not going to tell you something that you ain't going to be able to understand. We just got to have the ears to hear what he's saying. I want to stop right there and say this. A lot of people like to believe and say, I believe. But believing is a whole lot more than a post. Believing is a whole lot more than a t-shirt. Believing is a whole lot more than a belt or a tie. I'm real conscientious. I had some ties given to me. It's got Jesus stuff on it. I'm real conscientious because I see a lot of people who thinks wearing the ties what makes you a Christian. Friend, I have nothing against ties and t-shirts and bumper stickers and posts and things like that. But James, they got to come from somewhere for them to be true. Y'all with the preacher? I don't get on faith. I'm seeing too much stuff, Sister Vic, and it bothers me. And I can't handle it. My mind's too feeble, and it bothers me, so I got to stay away from it. But I got on there, and someone, and there's people that'll post this and say, if you truly love Jesus, you'll click and share and say amen. Right. I'm like, what if you don't? You die and go to hell? Huh? But somebody posted something I thought was pretty funny that says, when you get to heaven, you're not going to be getting in because you liked and shared that post. If you get into glory, it's not because you wore a t-shirt that says, I believe. If you get to heaven, you're not going to, if your last name's Faulkner, you're not going to heaven because your daddy's a pastor. So you don't think I'm picking on nobody. Or your husband's the pastor. But you're going to go to heaven because Jesus Christ came to you in your desert. And he took that word and threw it by the Spirit. He expounded on it. Right. Told you what it meant. Spoke to your heart. Can I say this? When God speaks to the heart, he don't take a lot of convincing because the convincing's there. The flesh wants to fight. The flesh wants to hold on. The devil tries to get you to say, put it off, put it off, put it off. But I like what happened with Philip and the eunuch. The eunuch come and said, hey, there's water in the desert. Hold up. How'd you get water in the desert? The same way you got grass in the desert and a burning bush. God knows what you need in the time that you need it. Now, I'm the first person who says you can't go to heaven by water baptism. That's absolutely right. But I'm also the same preacher that says, if you've been saved and truly born again, you better get baptized. Why? Because it's following what the Lord's given. That eunuch says, what hinders me from being baptized? I like this great deep theological question that Philip asked him. He says, do you believe that Jesus is the Christ? Do you believe he's the Son of God? I'm not reading my scriptures, and so I could be corrected. I'm not saying it word for word. But he asked him, do you believe? Now here's the key to believing. The believing that the eunuch did, Sister Vicki, he was willing to leave that chariot. That chariot was a representation of his position in his life, his stature with the queen, his place with society. He was willing to leave all of that and go with Christ and follow in baptism. Some people say, well, the altar call is not biblical. I beg to differ, friend. You may not be in a chariot, but you're sitting in a pew. And that pew's made a cushion on it. It's a representation making that feel comfortable in the position. But you've got to get up from where your position is as being a sinner and come to Christ in the desert, and you'll have the green grass. You'll have the speaking of the word, and you'll have that water to soothe your soul. May I say this, many a times, many a people has took the word of God and said, well, yes, I just believe and walk on down the road. But the eunuch was changed. You said, preacher, how can you know the eunuch was changed? God's not going to make everything happen in a desert for one person to get saved and then not get saved. You said, preacher, are you thinking that God forced that man to get saved? No, he has the choice. All I'm saying is this is how good God is. He's going to make everything happen just so you could be born again and saved. So if you say, well, preacher, I've had a rough upbringing. I've been thinking a lot about my upbringing here lately. And Jason Chapel, I could probably write a book, badmouth my parents on how they raised me, and be a bestseller, but be a rotten, good-for-nothing scoundrel. My mom and dad loved me. My mom and dad provided for me. But can I say this? Bad upbringing ain't going to keep you out of heaven. You still got to get saved. You still got to get born. And I'm not saying this, but I always use James sometimes as an example because I know he won't get mad. And just because you're being brung to church, and just because you're being brung to Sunday school, and just because you got people teaching you the truth, doesn't mean you get to go in without salvation. You've got to get born again. Why, oh why, when the Lord shows up in your life, do you not submit and surrender to Him? You're in a desert place. And you've gotten used to it. You say, well, this is just my place in life. Nothing's going to get no better. I've seen young people who say this is just as good as life is going to get. They think the worst thing in the world is when the girlfriend breaks up with them or the boyfriend breaks up with them. But, friend, there's something far worse than that. I've seen people, and I'm not saying this to be upset. I've seen some people who say when the marriage falls apart, and it is horrible, it's horrific, but it's not going to kill you. Y'all listen to preachers? There's things that happen to people every single day, James, but there's a God who's greater than any situation. They learn a new song in the youth group. I'm done. If you call, come, piano playing and singing. They learn a song. They're going to sing at that youth revival in December. I hope you all circled the dates. If not, it's the 28th and 29th. It'd behoove you to spend a little extra gas and go up to Mimesburg. I think it's going to be a good time. But they sing this song as God is bigger than all. My problem's bigger than all my fears. I think I was talking to Sister Tina last night. I went on into Facebook and kept looking at them people singing. I thought it was a church that just got together for a fellowship. It's not a church. It's a family. And everybody comes and... Now, I don't know how many of them is of the family. It might be their church family, too. And they're not in some super spiritual Georgia in the midst of the Bible Belt or Alabama. They're in Ohio. Where a lot of many Southerners says the Holy Ghost won't come up north of the Ohio River. You Tennessee people kill me. Got me a point with me. Yeah, I'm joking. But I watched them. It wasn't just a one-time thing. They was worshiping. I mean, their home is gorgeous. But I wasn't so much as impressed with the architecture of the home. What I was impressed with was around that piano... Some of the faces have changed, but the songs didn't. He's bigger than all your mountains. He's bigger than all your fears. You may be in a desert, but He still speaks. He still gives green grass, and He still has water in the desert. Can I say it won't change you being in the desert? It won't change the mountain that you may have to climb. It just says... Never alone. Never alone. I came here today to do one thing, is to give you God's heart. If you're here today and you're in that desert,
You said, preacher, I don't know when I'm going out. Here's what you should do, as the psalmist says. When going through the valley, make it a well. What do you mean, make it a well? Dig you a hole, and when God gives you water, make sure it's big enough that when somebody else comes through, they got themselves a little bit of water for somebody else and help somebody along the way. But friend, He will always give you water. And so, child of God, saint of God, if you're in the desert today, I encourage you to lift up your head. Maybe you need to come where you're at in the dirt, which is in that pew, and come to this altar, because I know there's green grass, because that's where the Lord is. Secondly, lost person, would you please, please stop playing the game? You know, now I'm not trying to be all psychological and pull. I just want to let you know how serious it is. Toby Powers posted on his church Facebook page, young person, early 25, dear worker in the church, young person, car wreck, gone. Church devastated. But was a little glimmer of hope, Sister Vicky, because they was saved. But some of you here that's lost, if you was to leave this world unprepared, devastate all of us. Not only is it not the Lord's will that you perish, but it's not ours neither. Why would you stay in the desert when He's got everything for you? Would you come to Christ?